You talk about SETI, that, you know, they're spending money, they're trying to get electronic messages using their radio telescopes. They can't seem to do it yet. You know, they're going to have this Paul Allen array of telescopes online soon. I hope it works. I'm not sure. You don't seem to think it's going to work.
Well, one of the things we can prove with singularity is that because we know that radio waves and light, you know, which is all the same thing, electromagnetism travels at the speed of light, it doesn't travel instantaneously the way singularity does. And we can't imagine that, you know, when you look at the separation in distances between star systems and galaxies, Andromeda's 2.2 million years from here, if you're sending a radio wave from Andromeda, it takes 2 million years to get here. There's no way they're communicating through radio. They couldn't do it effectively because it takes too long to send the message, and then the message, you know, as a waveform collides with other waves and you get distortion. It will never get here. So the point is, now that we know singularity is real, it exists. Einstein's spooky action at a distance has proved it. The Elaine aspect experiment proved it, which we've talked about before. So now I'm devising an experiment to actually send the human voice through the singularity, and I actually know how to do this. It's actually really simple. It's so simple when I show, you know, scientists, you know, how it actually works. If I could show SETI, if I could get Seth Shostak's ear to look at this, to look at the Elaine aspect experiment, if there's a key in that experiment, which, you know, to recap, essentially Elaine Aspect, the French physicist in 1993, he separated an electron-anti-electron pair, which essentially is a duality. But when he separates the positron from the negative electron, and he separates the two of them, they become mini singularities, but they're in a relationship with one another. And what he did was, when he altered the wave functions of one, the other one responded instantaneously, mm-hmm. not at the speed of light. So that means that there is a way to send information through the singularity between one point in the singularity and another. The question is now, can you send a message through it, the human voice? And I want to do an experiment and send my fiance Crystal's jazz song, one of her jazz songs, through the singularity to see if you get an answer. And I believe there are certain experiments that have already been done that have inadvertently or accidentally stumbled upon this. Now, once we can use the singularity as a tool, not only will we be able to see the first real-time picture of our universe and possibly our own world, but we may actually get an answer from another intelligent civilization. But there's no way in the world I can accept that the radio signals are going to yield any positive results. They haven't for decades now, and I don't think they're ever going to get anything out of it. So I think we have to start looking. You know, when people read singularity, they'll see very clearly why this is a valid option, why we can actually start accessing this. But what it's going to mean is when we start receiving messages, just like in white noise, you can actually hear the very faded voices of the dead or deceased or disembodied spirits. When we access the singularity, I think we're going to start to see that there's a real-time universe that really knows how to communicate over any distance in zero time, and I think that's what they're using. But there's a way to transpose radio signals. For example, this is a really amazing conundrum. The human voice sound only travels at roughly 750 miles an hour. But you can actually get sound to break the speed of sound. And the way you do it is you entangle the human voice as a waveform onto a radio wave. So sound then wraps itself around a radio wave, travels at the speed of light. It's mm-hmm. like kind of like getting on a train, and then you get off as a receiver,
yeah.
and all of a sudden you've obviated the problem. You've got the human voice to travel with the speed of light. You see?
Sure.
It's the same way. One day we will be able to take the human voice and put it on the singularity and send a message through it and go, we're here. Is there anybody out there? Or you can possibly, you know, send a singularity message to Andromeda and see if something comes back from the singularity. And the message could come back very quickly. You know, I think we're going to start to see that there is a much more viable way to communicate with extraterrestrial life. Singularity will eventually make wormholes obsolete as a mode of transportation.
How close are we to really doing this?
Well, I think I've actually heard some rumors. When I was lecturing at the Conscious Life Expo in L.A., I mentioned that I wanted to do this experiment, sending the human voice through the singularity. And when I told, you know, one of the the people who came to my lecture how I was going to do it, they said that Elaine Aspect, and they're actually, they know the same, they figured out the same thing I did, how to do it. And it's really simple. So I think they're going to be onto this. I think the world is going to be onto this. And it's just going to open up a whole new level of our understanding of the universe. And all of it, you know, the whole journey of singularity for me started with those three visitations with Jesus Christ. And he teaches me and points me to Scripture. And then eventually I merge Scripture with quantum physics.
With
and
science.
We now have the merging of the two in the field of singularity.
How many invisible dimensions do you think there are on this planet?
I think if you look at the work of Richard Feynman, there are probably millions of parallel histories that are real, what he called the sum of history, sum over histories, that every possibility for Earth's existence and every human being's individual lives exists, actually exists. We only experience the one we choose. Now, possibly schizophrenics are able to see two of those possibilities at the same time. But the singularity is yet another thing. It's something even beyond that. So I think what happens is, it's kind of like this. Imagine two fish under the Atlantic Ocean, and they want to go from New York to London. And when the fish are going through the water, they realize that you got to push your tail so hard to go through the water, and the water produces so much inertia, so much weight pushing you back, and it just exhausts you. And one of the fish goes, well, you know, if you get out of the water and you travel through the air on these on aircraft, you can cross the Atlantic with way less energy. It's way easier. You just float through the air. What happens is the finer and finer strata that you move through, the less inertia you encounter. When you find out that when you get out of air mass, I mean, inside the air mass we can do, like the X-15 was doing Mach, you know, 8 apparently.
Right.
Now, when you get out of the air mass, the space shuttle can do 18,000 miles an hour, you know, flying around the Earth, and it can go even faster than that. We have satellites that do 30, 40,000 miles an hour. Now, according to Einstein, in space, which is not a true void, but is a, you know, not a true vacuum, but is somewhat of a void, space is a fabric also. It's just a much more finer fabric than air mass is. You still can't go faster than the speed of light when you move through space. So when you think of these UFOs when they go invisible, like the one I saw in Berkeley, after 20 minutes it goes invisible, what they figured out is you can't move through space because it's too heavy. It's going to eventually push on you, especially when you approach the speed of light. It's going to crush you. And then you can't turn at those velocities to avoid incoming debris because the G-forces on the turns will kill you if you have mass. But if you get out of space, you see what I mean? It's like the fish getting out of the water, and you go to the next lower, the next strata, which has even less inertia than the fabric of space. You can move even faster. How many of those strata there are, oh my God, I think they ultimately culminate in singularity, which is an infinite zero point. You never really reach absolute zero singularity. It's infinite. But the higher you evolve spiritually and technologically, the more of those strata you can jump through to get to lower and lower inertial fields, meaning strata that you can move through with less inertia, meaning it takes less and less energy to move through those strata.